Rebecca Brooks is a professional financial coach here in Chattanooga. She and her husband, Dylan Pollack, are the owners of R&D Financial Coaching. With the ongoing economic fallout from COVID-19, Rebecca told me in the past month that she's been hearing from plenty of clients.
Rebecca, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Ray.
Tell me more about you and Dylan and how you came up with this idea.
We actually went through our own financial journey about 5 or 6 years ago and found ourselves living in the middle of nowhere in a job that we were kind of stuck at and in debt and kind of really out of money and felt as though we didn't have options. That really was unsettling to us. So we wanted to try to improve that situation. And then we also were getting married and we had known that, you know, obviously so many marriages do end in divorce, but there's also a statistic that 20% of divorces are actually caused by money problems. And so we're like, okay, not only is this good for just us as people, but to set ourselves up in a good relationship, we want to control what we can control so that that's never an issue for us. And so that's really what started kind of our financial journey personally. To start the business itself, we're living in a community that was full of government employees during the most recent government shutdown. And the way that it just affected so many people because they were in that paycheck to paycheck cycle, it just really hit home. We just felt as though we had the knowledge and wherewithal to help people, to be a solution to that problem. So we decided to get our education as financial coaches and to start the business. So that's how it all started.
What brought you to Chattanooga last fall?
We were looking to relocate from Washington State. We were living just at the base of Mount Rainier. We just knew we wanted to get a little bit closer to our family who lives kind of in the southeast, east coast, but still wanted to be in an outdoor town. And so Chattanooga really just hit all the marks for us and we made the move.
You offer financial coaching.
It's really a very one-on-one relationship with our clients. We help people to focus really on their habits and behaviors, their daily decisions with money. Our approach is really based on viewing your finances as a part of your wellness practice. When your finances are managed and you're really in control of your money, as opposed to your money being in control of you, you can really just enjoy life more and not stress as much about every financial decision.
Tell me what you're hearing from people.
We're really seeing a lot of kind of freezing up from a lot of folks because there's just been so much change. And, you know, it's kind of like everybody's really waiting on the next shoe to drop. With that, we're just seeing savings increase. Debt is definitely going down. Like credit card balances are going down, which is really great. It's really kind of in our eyes, a positive side of this is that, you know, it's unfortunate that there's so much going on in the world that is negative that's caused us to focus on our finances. But seeing like the savings rate go up to record levels, it hasn't been where it is now for years and years. Credit card debt starting to decline.
At the same time, even before COVID-19 hit, a lot of people were struggling with their finances.
We saw the numbers and I think 2017 was the last time there was the Career Builder survey that told us, you know, 78% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Only 6 in 10 millennials even have a retirement fund. We're getting a little bit older, us millennials. We're not as young as we used to be. And so we really need to start to focus on those things. And that's all even before COVID. Things are just moving a lot, not only in your income, but also how are you paying bills? What are the programs available to you? Finances continue to be really complex. So we really focus on helping people make sense of all of that and make the best decision for them.
One theme that we've heard about in recent years, including now, is women and investing, women and finance. Curious to know your take on that.
Yeah, it's definitely a point of focus for me and my coaching and with our business. We do try to really make the information of personal finance, make it interesting and speak specifically to women because there is a very big gap in the participation for women with investing and making large financial decisions. It really comes back to the education that we've received, being seen as decision makers, managing our own money. It hasn't been really like this generational education that we get to kind of benefit from. So, because really even just our, like my mother was the first person in, you know, like our family tree to be able to manage her own money. because of that, you know, she didn't get to learn from her mother. People don't talk about money in the household. It's improper, etc. And so because of that, there's just really nowhere to get the information. So you have to teach yourself. And then for women already trying to do so much by being a mother or a professional career woman, etc., or the, you know, the quote unquote, she's trying to have it all kind of thing. There's really just no time to educate yourself on finances too. There's just so much. And so it ends up getting kicked back to the back burner a lot. And that's just one example. I mean, there's just so many different reasons that women need to focus on their finances, but have found it hard to do so. And so I really try to help women to understand things in a very simple way that, and help them to prioritize their personal needs, because we're also really good at focusing on helping others and kind of putting ourselves again on that back burner. And so treating it as a form of self-care. And so that's really how I approach it with the women who I coach.
And where can people go online for more information? Where can they call?
Our website is www.radcoaches.com. And our phone number is 423-948-4118.
All right. Rebecca, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ray.
Cody Sims is a financial advisor with Ameriprise in the Chattanooga area. He told me in the past month about the unique financial circumstances that he's seen women clients face over the years and now during this pandemic, the glass ceiling phenomenon, greater longevity, and more.
75% of family caregivers are female. You may be caring for aging parents and children at the same time. So, you know, be sure that you talk with your family about your financial goals so that you are protected if something unexpected happens and that you have all the financial information you need. Also, women give more to charity than men on average and are also more likely to volunteer. So, you know, we need to think about immediate and long-term charitable giving for their time.
And all of this as we're dealing with the pandemic, all of this as we're dealing with job losses, the unrest that we've seen in
some of those unforeseen life changes are, you know, what we are all experiencing right now with the COVID-19 pandemic. Other unforeseen changes many times are divorce, widowhood, unexpected health events. We should know the realities around Social Security benefits and women's rights as a beneficiary of a spouse's qualified retirement plan following a divorce or even a widowhood. So knowledge is definitely power in that area. Not that someone has to know everything, but at least be able to contact someone who is familiar with the information necessary to make the educated decision. So we need to make sure that the affairs are in order. Definitely make sure that beneficiary designations are in place, power of attorneys, whether it be healthcare or durable power of attorneys, which could also be healthcare directives and last will and testaments.
What are you hearing from clients now?
The things that I'm hearing are, do I need to make any changes? Am I going to be okay for the long run? How has this pandemic affected my overall plan? And these are all great questions. It reminds us of something. I should say it this way. There's nothing like a significant market downturn to remind all of us that investing involves risk. So the level of comfort or discomfort that one feels when the market moves up or down substantially is, you know, it's a good starting point on whether or not the portfolio fits the risk profile. So we need to always revisit our views on risk. As I explain risk to my clients, many times when I ask that question about what's your preferred risk tolerance, they look maybe like they have a question on their face. And so I ask them this way, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most aggressive, which also provides you the most return potential, but also the most risk of loss as well. You know, where do you feel comfortable? So if someone says, you know, well, maybe a six would mean that roughly 60% of the portfolio would be tied to the stock market. The other 40% could be in bonds, bond funds, cash, gold, other alternatives to help mitigate the risk. So making sure the investment allocation among stocks, bonds, alternatives, and cash is lined up appropriate to one's emotional wherewithal for investing is extremely important, and it can also reduce the volatility in the portfolio.
What's something that's surprised you this time around?
Something that has surprised me, that's a good question. The media usually sensationalizes matters, but this one has been, I guess the surprise here is that it has been more serious than others. This has been a very serious and difficult situation in the financial markets. It has, as we know, created the largest unemployment that we've in our lifetimes that we've ever seen. But the resiliency of Americans to keep pressing forward really is no surprise. But it is surprising about how far reaching this pandemic can be and how it can affect individuals and also, of course, businesses and trickle into the economy the way that it has. It has been a real eye-opener.
And we have a long way to go.
We do. And the key is to stay focused on long-term goals and remember that an investment strategy is based on goals, not the news headlines of the day. So we should always avoid emotional investing. While it's important to be aware of the news related to COVID-19, particularly from a health perspective, we should be careful to not let our emotions affect our investing. And always take advantage of the situation that we're in. And in this case, you know, many have been able to buy in on the cheap, as we say. And as we think about the decline in the S&P 500, I'll mention a couple words about that. But the S&P 500 was at a high on February 19th and then dropped 34% to a low on March 23rd. And then since then has risen 37%. To its close yesterday on June 1st of 3,055. Now, an additional 11% gain is still needed to return it to its 2020 high of 3,387. But think about those who you know were willing to invest some dollars they had in cash or in bonds into the market back around those low points. So some strong gains were able to be made coming out of this as well, which facilitates the overall recovery.
All right. Cody, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Ray.